President Trump touches down on British soil. For American businesses, though, it's Brexit that's casting a shadow on relations. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. President Trump has arrived in the UK for his three-day state visit. Today, he'll meet the Queen, Prime Minister Theresa May, and members of the royal family. Tomorrow, it's a business roundtable before he marks the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings. But with Theresa May stepping down, Brexit still looming, and growing American protectionism, how are American businesses viewing that special relationship? Emmanuel Adam is Executive Director of the British American Business Council in London.
Despite an ongoing uncertainty since the Brexit vote in the UK, relationships between the US and the UK have been actually quite good. In fact, they have probably been better than ever before. The priority for US businesses is currently to receive clarity over the future relationship between the UK and the EU. This is by far more important than any free trade agreement or future collaboration between the UK and the US. Because many US businesses have chosen the UK as a jumping plate for their activities in the EU.
It sounds to me like that is a pitch to say the UK staying within the EU is better for American businesses because then Britain remains that jumping off point into the rest of the continent.
US businesses in particular have been quite good in embracing this new scenario. But right now they have prepared for a scenario that hasn't happened yet, which is why we need to get some sort of clarity, which hopefully excludes a no-deal scenario, though, that will help for US businesses in the UK to further thrive.
And does that mean that American businesses agree with President Trump that walking away without a deal, negotiating hard with the EU is the way forward?
Well, I think what the president was trying to say here is he reflects a power game that we currently see between the US and the EU, fired up by the US believing that the EU is acting in a protectionist manner. The US prefers to negotiate bilateral trade agreements. Much of what is important for US businesses in the UK really depends on the outcome of Brexit.
Emmanuel Adam, let's do the numbers. Global stock markets are down. Japan's Nikkei closed almost 1% lower this morning. Investors remain nervous about the ongoing trade war between the U.S. and China. Over the weekend, Beijing said it will not back down from the trade fight with Washington. Now, one of Britain's biggest businesses announced plans today to spend $2 billion to build three chemical plants in Saudi Arabia, its first Middle Eastern investment. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
Founded 2 decades ago and run by Britain's third richest man, INEOS has grown to become one of the country's largest chemicals producers. Now it's looking to Saudi Arabia to improve access to markets in the Middle East and Asia. The new plants will be operational by 2025 and produce chemicals for products used in the automotive, aerospace, and electronics industries. Some Western companies have shied away from investing in Saudi Arabia after journalist Jamal Khashoggi was killed while visiting a Saudi consulate in Turkey last October. INEOS director Tom Crotty told the BBC the company considered the implications of investing now and took advice from the UK government before moving forward.
The UK government and the Prime Minister addressed the issue with the kingdom. It's been condemned quite rightly. We believe that there is a process of change going on in Saudi Arabia, that now is a good time for us to get involved because we think investment is what will lead to fueling that process of change and modernization in Saudi Arabia.
Today's announcement is the latest in a string of investments for INEOS. Earlier this year, it dedicated $3 billion for the construction of two facilities in Belgium and $1 billion for a North Sea pipeline revamp. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
For the first time in a decade, a Western airline has landed in Pakistan. British Airways resumed operations after a Marriott hotel bombing back in 2008, which killed 50 people in Islamabad. That's good news for Prime Minister Imran Khan. He's hoping to agree a multi-billion dollar bailout plan from the International Monetary Fund. Professor Akbar Zaidi is an economist based in Karachi.
Pakistan has been isolated for at least 11 years, if I think much more than that. And British Airways will be the first European and northern airline to come to Pakistan. So I think it is a big moment.
Does it represent any major economic change, though? Because Pakistan and the IMF are negotiating a massive bailout at the moment. Do you think that this can actually lead to foreign investment?
British Airways sort of coming into Pakistan is certainly more symbolic and is good for Pakistan in a sense. But whether it translates into hard economic indicators, positive indicators, is difficult to say.
Let's talk about the IMF bailout. It still has to be agreed at the top levels. The information isn't public. Do you think the terms are going to be favorable for Pakistan?
Not at all. I think it's very clear that the terms are extremely severe. I think this is in some ways the worst program for Pakistan, worst in terms of severest. It's got numerous conditionalities, which most programs have. And I think it's important to tell people that we really don't know the full extent of the conditionalities. We've only heard a few of them, and they are sort of raising the interest rate, there's devaluation, both which has already happened. And there are other prior conditions as well. It's actually a very tough program, and it's actually probably the severest that Pakistan has ever faced.
So, Akbar, remind us how Pakistan got to this economic position and what is going to help get it out?
Well, this is a cumulative problem over many, at least a decade or so. Not enough reliance on, say, something like the wealth tax or taxes on high income earners. I mean, there's a stark statistic about Pakistan that less than 1% of its population pays any income tax. Everybody pays taxes because they're taxed through everything that they eat and drink and the SMSs that they send, but very few direct pay income tax.
That's Professor Akbar Zaidi in Karachi, and I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.